as a forward, again, you only need one chance to ruin his 70 minutes. You have to have that mentality all the time. I only need one ball here. You're in trouble again.
The Football Pod is available every Tuesday exclusively on the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Tonight, Atletico Madrid versus Manchester United. Two crumbling empires. That's what's happening. That's the narrative in the build-up to this. One of them will be catapulted into the last eight and probably when they get there believe that they have a chance of going much deeper in the tournament depending on the draw. I'm delighted to say Daniel Harris, football writer, is with us to help preview the game. Daniel, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Hi, everyone.
What are your levels of expectation as a Manchester United supporter this morning?
As a United supporter, I think United should win this tie. I think you have to be careful with Atletico in that they have a performance in them. And you often see it. I mean, I've seen it watching United over the years. I remember in 2000, for example, Real Madrid, United were massive favourites to beat Real Madrid. And obviously there was other stuff going on. I mean, Fergie sent the team out as though they were playing Di Stefano and Puskas because he was at that point so obsessed with his own history, his own personal history and history of football. But Madrid found a performance in that tie. And ultimately, they had good players. And you look at Atletico, they also have good players. So they have players that can do something in a tie and they can find the performance because they've done it before. But ultimately, United should be a bit fresher and hopefully have a little bit more confidence because they've played quite well the last few weeks.
Is Sunday then more than just a false dawn?
Who knows? I mean, on the one hand, you could say, well, we know that this Leeds side are ideal for United to play against because they played them four times and absolutely stuffed them three times. And the other time, they should have stuffed them as well, really. They just missed a load of chances. So there is that. But on the other hand, if you could look at the Leeds game as a continuation of what we'd seen really, like they played really well in the second half against Brentford. They played well for a little bit against Villa. They played really well against Borough, managed to stuff it up. They played well for a half against Burnley. They played well for not so well against Southampton. But they've been getting much better over the last few weeks. And I would say that they're defending quite well now. Bruno had a bad start to the season by his standards, but yet was still creating more chances than anyone else in the league. But now he's actually playing well as well. Sancho is settled, is playing well. So it's not hard to find a way to victory for them. But at the same time, you also know that these are entirely unreliable. So you can never be quite sure what's going to be. And as I said about Atletico, that they have class players who know how to turn it on in big games. And so if they were to pull a performance out their arse this evening, no one would be that surprised.
We go into this game on the back of a couple of interesting comments. Fred is the latest person to speak. It's TNT Sports Brazil who he was talking to at this time, and he's talking about the lack of a long-term plan at Manchester United. He says it's a little bit bad for us to not have one. At the moment, it's all about the short-term goals. We don't know how it's going to be after the end of this season. And we'd call him in with us earlier on. He was referring to it like kind of an end-of-school situation where everybody's about to go their separate ways and they know that, you know, the sunshine is out and that there's only a couple of more weeks left of this. Do you get that same feeling around this squad?
I absolutely wouldn't put it past this squad, but I find it quite hard to grasp as someone who's just watching, because football is never about the future. I mean, you want people who are overseeing the future and planning for the future, but football is about now. And Fred shouldn't be worrying about who's going to be managing him in June. Fred should be worried about putting it all in and leaving it all out there tonight. And in fairness, I think that's what will happen. I'm absolutely certain that people in any field of human endeavour will find excuses to do less. And if you want an example, think about the last time you watched a fight and you saw one of the guys in there gas. Now, that is a tribute to human laziness and human ability to procrastinate and human ability to just get distracted. Because if you go into a fight in a cage and you're undertrained and you're not fit enough, there's a good chance you will take a pasting. And yet you still see people do it quite often. So the idea that footballers would find an excuse to not put it all out there or to not work as hard as they should or to find an excuse for not winning is obviously not that surprising. But I don't think that the serious footballers in that team are genuinely that bothered about that, because what they're thinking about is glory now and success now and playing the best that they can now. So I'm not surprised that they're taking that excuse, but I don't understand why a footballer who's playing for Manchester United would be concerning himself with who the manager's going to be in a few months when they're playing a Champions League knockout tie away to Atletico Madrid tonight. I mean, it's baffling, really. It's unprofessional and baffling.
I guess what is coming through, the leaks that are coming through about different players and the relationship of the individuals, and then the coaching staff seem to be kind of at some point fighting back as well, saying, well, it's chaos here. I think Miguel Delaney has a quote about Bruno being tactically chaotic. I've butchered that, so I'll get it correct in a second. But it does seem like it's an organisation that everywhere it's whack-a-mole with what the issue du jour is. And that speaks to a lack of leadership. And we've talked about that before. It comes from the Glazers. It comes from the previous CEO. The new CEO has an opportunity to maybe fix that by some key hires. The jury's out on whether or not he's going to be able to turn it around quickly or not. In the meantime, right, are you seeing enough from what Rangnick is doing to suggest that actually there is a plan there? It's just whether or not the players are implementing the plan.
There's definitely a plan. I mean, Ole had a plan. It might have not been a good plan. It might not have been well communicated. It might not have been suitable for the players, but he had one. And Rangnick is absolutely a plans bloke. And I think that the way it went at the beginning, I didn't expect them to become a brilliant team as soon as the manager changed. I did think that they would get better quicker than they did, and they didn't. But if you look at it now, the only team with more league points than United since Rangnick was appointed is City. And there have been very significant improvements, particularly in the last month. And I don't understand how anyone would be able to watch United and not think that the performance we saw against Leeds was streets ahead of the performance we saw against Newcastle or against Wolves. I was surprised that it took him as long as possible to work out what to do, that the 4-2-2-2 wasn't suitable for that squad, that he couldn't be leaving out Bruno Fernandes. And to go back to Bruno Fernandes, because you mentioned him, about the tactical anarchy, I get why someone would think that, but I don't think that it's entirely fair. Because, and the reason why I say that is because, number one, if you took Bruno out of this team, it would be a joke. He creates most of the chances, he scores a good chunk of the goals, and a lot of the good stuff comes through him. If you look at the goals they've scored over the last few weeks, even the ones he hadn't scored or created, if you look at the goal against Southampton, for example, he didn't get the goal or the assist, but it was his pass that broke the lines that had Marcus Rashford basically able to square it to Sancho for a tap-in. That was Bruno. And he's also running himself into the ground. So it's not like he's not Juan Roman Riquelme, who is a number 10 who, if you get him the ball in space, then he might do something brilliant, but otherwise he doesn't do anything. He's running harder, I imagine, than almost everyone, probably everyone, covering more ground. And one of the reasons he has to attempt so much stuff is because it's got to a point where almost everything goes through him. Now that Sanchez is playing a bit better, actually, I think we're seeing Bruno a bit deeper. And I don't think that Bruno has to be a number 10 with two blokes charging about behind him. I think in a better team, if he had a good number 6, he could easily be a number 8. And we're seeing him play a bit deeper now, get involved in the play a little bit deeper, because he's got Sancho ahead of him, who can also be relied upon to create something. And I think that it took Rangnick a while to work out what to do with Bruno. He left him out of the first available opportunity when he was suspended for the Burnley home game. United whacked Burnley. Bruno didn't start the next game, which was Wolves. They were absolutely dreadful in that game. And the only time they looked like they might score was when Bruno came on. Admittedly, he missed a very presentable chance at 0-0 in that game that you wouldn't expect him to miss, but the fact remains that they did absolutely nothing until he came on. So in terms of tactical anarchy, I don't think that there is necessarily a problem with that per se, and that football is chaotic. I also think that Bruno is putting his shift in, and if he had better players around him, more reliable players around him, he wouldn't have to attempt as much as he does, because there'd be other people who were doing that and he'd have more opportunity just to keep the play ticking over. But in the last few weeks, I think we've seen more of that, and we've seen Pogba come into the team as well. And what Rangnick said about Pogba, people didn't like it at the time, where he said he's not bothered that Pogba won't put it in because if he wants a move, he's going to have to play well. Didn't sound great, but it was true, in that Pogba had a reason to play well beyond the desire to play well.
No, it's the truth. He will make more money the better he plays. We're going to benefit from that. It's the bit that you're not supposed to talk about.
Right, and one of the things I quite like about Rangnick is that he just tells the truth. Like, it's very dispassionate. That there's no rancour where he says things about people that he's not impressed with, or where they've said things that people might not like if they're said publicly. He's just telling the truth, and it comes across, I think it comes across quite well when he does that. The thing with any manager ultimately is, however well you come across is never going to override what does or doesn't happen on the pitch. And it's been very clear over the last few weeks, you've seen United get better, but they haven't really played anyone that good. And the best team probably that they played was Southampton, and they struggled in that game. So you could easily see them struggle tonight, but it would be wrong. I would struggle to understand anyone who would say that there hasn't been progress in the time since Rangnick took over, because they're much better than the team that lost 4-1 to Watford. And if you look at how they played in that game, the improvements have been gradual and incremental. It hasn't been a good performance here, a rubbish performance there, really. Over the last month or so, the performances have just been gradually improving bit by bit. And I was heartened against Leeds, because when you saw the weather, you're kind of thinking, not sure I fancy Leeds in that game. But they absolutely put it in. And it's one of the first times I can remember in recent times seeing United winning a physical battle, which they did. And when things went against them, when they tossed the 2-0 in less than a minute in the second half, that would have been an excuse for them to fold. We've seen them struggle in those kind of adverse circumstances over the last bit, but that wasn't what happened. They hung in there. They went again, and they won 4-2, and they could have easily won 5-2 or 6-2, and that was a massive improvement. But again, in parentheses, this Leeds team are perfect for United. They're missing a lot of their best players also. So, I mean, you would never... This team are a long way away from being anywhere where you could possibly rely on them to do anything.
If Bruno plays as an 8... you have 2 sixes, and they have the 2 sixes in, I mean, maybe Fred's not really a six and he's been mischaracterised since his arrival in English football, but notwithstanding that, right, for the sake of writing out the team tonight, is it McTominay and Fred and Bruno, and they're your three who are going to be in midfield, and then that allows you to have Sancho, Elanga and a striker in Ronaldo? Is that a 4-2-1-2-1?
Maybe. I think, well, McTominay and Bruno will definitely play, because Bruno's the best player in the team and is playing really well at the moment. And McTominay has played, I think he's started every game pretty much, apart from that Champions League game where they were through already, which I don't think he started. But he started pretty much every game under Rangnick. Rangnick, he is basically the six. He's not a six either, he's an eight. But McTominay will definitely play. I think the choice at that point is... You could, if you assume Atletico are going to sit back, then you might think that you'd be able to play Pogba, Bruno and McTominay, because you're going to have a lot of the ball. I don't think Ralph will do that. I think that he'll probably play Fred as well, who's also an eight, because he'll want Fred's energy and he'll want Fred's protection, because he will run harder than Pogba will. The question then at that point is what you do with Pogba, because... He's actually a pretty good sub, someone to bring on when the game slows down a bit, who is physical, he's got a beautiful touch, and he's playing well. What I would think about doing, I don't think Ralph will do this, but what I would think about doing is I would probably play Sancho on the right and Pogba on the left of the attack. And the reason that I would do that is because we almost know for sure Atletico are going to sit back. So the pacing behind of whichever it is, of Elanga, Lingard or Rashford, is not going to be that necessary in this kind of game. Whereas if you've got Pogba and Sancho and Bruno, you've got three lockpickers there.
So and if you don't think he's going to do that, what do you think he's going to do, and where will he play Pogba?
I think that he'll leave Pogba on the bench. I think it will be Fred, McTominay, Bruno and Pogba on the bench. And then the front three, I think, will be Elanga, Ronaldo and Sancho. And the reason I think that is because... Lingard played the last game. I don't think he played Lingard. I don't think Lingard will play tonight. I mean, he played okay in the last game, but he didn't play that well. And also, what we're seeing from Rangnick is that he obviously much prefers Sancho on the left to the right, because whoever the other attacker is, he's basically compromising that player because he really wants to play Sancho on the left. And I think he wants to do that because on the left, he can get Sancho nearer to goal, and he's also more involved in the play as a playmaker. And I think what he's saying is, Sancho is the best of all the options, so he's going to play in his best position and the others can just make do. So I don't think Lingard's not a right winger. I mean, really, Lingard's a number 10, but you could play him on the left, again, to get him closer to goal. But if you play him on the right, as he started against Leeds, he's unlikely to go on the outside. I don't think that's what he's going to do with Lingard tonight. Elanga's a little bit more versatile in terms of he's got a bit more pace than Lingard, he's a bit stronger than Lingard, and just more of a goal scorer than Lingard. So I think it'll be Elanga on the right, because Rashford is just not playing well, and it's kind of hard to understand why that is. I must confess, I thought Rashford will come back from injury flying, because he's obviously a good player. We know how good he is, and he'd had the time off to get himself healed. He'd had a rest, he'd had a mental rest. I'm not sure what's going on with Rashford, but I don't think he's earned the right to start in this game, and I think Elanga has. So that's what I think the front three will be.
What's going to be the centre-back partnership for the rest of the season, and how confident or otherwise are you of, say, a Scott McTominay and Paul Pogba midfield, giving Harry Maguire the required protection?
I don't know. I mean, I think that it'll be Maguire. I think that Ralph has decided on Maguire. Obviously, Varane will play. I think that dropping Maguire, he sort of did it because Maguire was injured and Lindelof played. And he actually sort of had an excuse then to keep playing Lindelof and Varane, because Lindelof was playing all right. But then Lindelof's home got burgled, so he brought Maguire back in. So then he was actually going to have to drop Maguire, drop the captain, whereas previously he could have had a situation where Lindelof and Varane were playing, and it could be, well, the guy who came in played well, you're not dropped, you just can't win your place back until Lindelof does something wrong, and then it would have been much easier. But now I don't think Rangnick will want the aggravation of dropping the captain, want the unwanted attention of dropping the captain, and there'll be games for Lindelof and football for Lindelof, because Varane, they don't want to play Varane two games a week. So like, they left him out against Leeds because they want to be careful with his fitness, so there'll be enough games for Lindelof. But I think the first choice partnership will be Maguire and Varane. And what the thing about Maguire is, his just this season, he's perpetrated some of the worst games I've ever seen from a United centre-back. And you can't get away from the fact that if you're that unreliable, then you're unlikely to be the future for a team that wants to go on and win things. But there have also been difficult circumstances that it would be silly just to completely ignore them, although you would expect the captain, someone who costs what Maguire cost, who was meant to be your defensive leader, to override that. It's not the case, but it doesn't mean that Maguire's top level isn't an all right level. It's not as good a level as numerous United defenders who've gone before him, and I'm not just talking about the best ones either. It's not just that he's not a McGrath, Vidic, Ferdinand, Stam level player. He's not a Ronnie Johnson or Wes Brown level player either. But when he's playing well, he's good enough to be okay at this level. Like, he can play international football, he can play Champions League football, but he has to be at his best to do it.
Is he really not as good as Ronnie Johnson?
Oh, come on, man. He's not the same. Like, Ronnie Johnson could run. Ronnie Johnson had everything Maguire had. He was good on the ball. Ronnie Johnson could play in midfield. When United played a quarter final in San Siro against Inter in 99, Henning Berg and Jaap Stam played at the back, and Ronnie Johnson played in midfield. He was good on the ball, he was as strong as Maguire, and he was quicker. He was a much better player than Maguire. It's not even close. And similarly, Wes Brown, a much better player than Maguire. But that doesn't mean, because these other players were much better than him, that Maguire isn't a useful player. He doesn't have attributes. His attributes aren't as strong as you would like them to be, and he's not as reliable as you would want him to be. And what he doesn't have, another defender who isn't someone anyone would even think of, Mikel Silvestre, was error-prone in a way that Maguire is, but he had recovery pace that Maguire doesn't have. And if you're not... The other thing we should say in Maguire's defence, I think, is that if you are a defender who has a slow turning circle and doesn't have a great deal of pace, then you could do with a keeper behind you who comes off his line. De Gea doesn't really do that. And it may well not be a coincidence that Maguire's best run of form for United in the second half of last season came when Henderson was in net. But the best defenders don't require that. They don't require a goalkeeper to have a particular style of goalkeeping. But if you're slow and you keep a high line, you want to keep a high line, then a goalkeeper that's rooted to his goal line is not helpful. And we can understand all those things about Maguire, that the whole team was chaotic at the time. But ultimately, if you're the captain, you're meant to be the defensive organiser, a lot of those structural faults are your business to try and sort out. And also the mistakes that we've seen Maguire making this season, we're not just talking about, oh, look, he's been left on his own by a centre-back partner, or the full-back's not covering him, or the goalkeeper's rooted to his line. They're mistakes that you wouldn't want to see from a child. their losses of composure, their losses of concentration. And ultimately, as a player, whatever's going on behind the scenes, you have to take responsibility for your own performances. And Maguire, I'm sure, is responsible, takes responsibility for his own performances that he'll know haven't been good enough. But again, his top level, Maguire playing well, is an all right level and should be good enough to be able to deal with João Félix and Luis Suárez, especially given he's going to have Rafael Varane next to him.
I know that he doesn't go underappreciated by Manchester United fans, but if Wes Brown was 15 years younger and was playing in the same era as Harry Maguire, do you think that, your point there about him being much better than Harry Maguire, do you think that would be just naked for everyone to see? Because like, even if you judge it through the prism of England, he finished up with 23 England caps and Harry Maguire is already well into the 40s at the age of 28. Granted, he's not competing with Ferdinand and Terry for jerseys in the team.
And Campbell and King and injury.
And Carragher.
And injury.
And Carragher, like, there was loads of good centre-backs around, like, brilliant, the best centre-backs in the world were English at the time Wes Brown was playing. But also, Wes Brown struggled with injury, but I mean, Wes Brown was played centre-back in United back four that kept out Barcelona for 180 minutes of a Champions League tie. And his performance in that second leg against Barca is probably the greatest performance I've ever seen from a United defender. Definitely the best since McGrath in the 85 Cup final. Wes Brown was strong. He was stronger than Maguire, I would say. He was quicker than Maguire. He was better on the ball than Maguire. Like Fergie said, Wes Brown was one of the best natural defenders he'd ever seen. I would say the injuries that Wes Brown had early on in his career, he became sort of more of a tough defender rather than a good on the ball defender. It sort of felt like he lost a bit of the ability on the ball with the injuries. But Wes Brown played right back in the team that won the Champions League. So that guy could play football. At 17, I think he was. Was he 17? No, he was a bit old. He was 19. He was playing right back in the Nou Camp. Fergie trusted him to put him playing right back in the Nou Camp. I don't think you'd see Harry Maguire playing right back in the Nou Camp when the other team had got Figo and Rivaldo and making a success of it. So yeah, I don't think it's close. I don't think that Harry Maguire is probably a better centre back than Henning Berg was either. But again, like, these are all good players and Harry Maguire is a good player. What I think is that if you're giving £80 million for a centre back and Harry Maguire didn't set the fee, this is not Harry Maguire's fault. This is the fault of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, whoever else was responsible. If you're giving £80 million for a centre back, you should be getting the centre back who's the best centre back in the world. And Harry Maguire isn't that. We're not talking about a good era of centre backs either. But again, he can be good. And he can be good enough. So
give me a centre back who he's better than who's played for United.
Like, yeah,
where's the floor here? Where? Yeah.
Who is he better than?
Steve Bruce.
I mean, no, I don't think he's. Steve Bruce would obviously find it harder playing today than when he did then with Nicky centre forwards. But ultimately, the thing about Steve Bruce that I joked when United was after Maguire because I didn't want them to sign Maguire. Is he just Steve Bruce with the first touch? But the truth is he's not Steve Bruce. Steve Bruce was someone who you could rely on to score goals. In 1991, I think Bruce scored 21 goals.
He took penalties though.
Some of them were penalties, yeah. But not all of them were penalties.
12 like, or 13, I think.
Right, so that's still a decent return.
Yeah, fair enough.
Two goals against Sheffield Wednesday when you needed them. But let's forget about it. Let's just talk about the defending. I thought and I hope that there would be games that where you win by one goal, and the reason you win them by one goal is because you've got Maguire. He's basically heading everything away. He's just a giant in the box, defending the box. Like Steve Bruce was that. Maguire is not that. And Steve Bruce had a better partner than Maguire has had a lot of the time. He played with Gary Pallister, who was a great athlete, quick, strong, fast, good on the ball. But when people talk to also back to that lack of structure point, doesn't seem to be affecting Varane in the way that it's been affecting Maguire. This lack of structure.
Yeah. So is there anybody that has played centre back regularly for United in the last 15 years that Maguire is better than?
Oh, I was going to go Mark Higgins. He's better than Mark Higgins. He's better than David May. The thing is, it's difficult because in the time I've been watching, United have had two centre-back partnerships that lasted the generation. So they had Ferdinand and Vidic, who were there for a long time, and Bruce and Pallister, who were there for a long time. In between that, you had some Yap Stammer, who was the best defender in the world, and Ronnie Johnson. And yeah, I mean, they're all better than Maguire. Being less good than those players...
Late period Laurent Blanc?
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's Prunier, not as good on the ball as Blanc was.
Did Prunier play enough games to qualify for this?
Yeah, one, One of my favourite moments came watching Prunier play for United. I was behind the goal when they lost 4-1 to Spurs on New Year's Day, the classic Prunier game, and I was able... Ronnie Rosenthal was taking a corner for Tottenham, and I was down at the front, and I was able to swear at Ronnie Rosenthal in Hebrew, which wasn't something I ever thought I would have the privilege of being able to do watching Premier League football, is give abuse in the writ to an opposition player. But there we go.
Did he notice? Did he turn around and go, hang on a second?
Yeah. He didn't respond, but you can be sure that he noticed in Hebrew, because it's a guttural language, and it's a language where you can wrench syllables to be able to say things in a particular way. So one of the most common insult is benzona in Hebrew. But the way you're able to say it, and it's a really good language to be able to hand out abuse to, much better than English, I would say.
Most languages are actually better than English, it turns out, for handing out abuse, particularly because the buttoned up Anglo-Saxon world doesn't allow any kind of proper
hand gestures. I mean, even if you think about a word, I mean, and this particularly so if you're from the south in London. I mean, it's south in England. I'm from London. So, well, grew up, like, my dad's from Manchester, but he wasn't a big swearer. So I grew up and you call someone a bastard. And I remember one of my friends from Newcastle was like, you call someone a bastard, it sounds like you're giving them a compliment. Like, the word is bastard. And then you can insert some proper venom. And I can't really argue with that.
On that note, give us a prediction.
I think that United will win this game 2-1, and I think they'll win the tie. But I think they'll win tonight, because I think that they've got enough confidence from the last few games, and the attacking players are playing well enough to find some spaces in Atletico's defence. So I think United will win 2-1 tonight.
It's getting to squeaky bum time either way. Daniel, great stuff. Thanks a million.
See you again. Bye. Have a good day, everyone.
Daniel Harris there giving us an accidental power ranking of where Harry Maguire is in the history, in the pantheon of Manchester United defenders, and it's pretty low. It's further down the list than I would have thought.
Yeah, it's if you were to do...
Ahead of David May, behind Henning Berg.
If you were to do a draft of Premier League defenders and all you could sign was Premier League defenders, where would he draft, I wonder?
Or if you could only do a draft of Manchester United centre-backs over the last 30 years, you're getting to the very end of that group and it's like... 60-year-old Laurent Blanc is kind of standing beside Harry Maguire. I'm like, what? I'm like, come on, man, this guy. But we've all felt that, haven't we?
Yeah, like we absolutely have. But someone somewhere, and a lot of people in one place in particular have seen something in this guy.
Yeah,
it might be due to a lack of options.
Sell him to Newcastle.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.